weekly news and review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. Today's date, Tuesday, May 21st, 2013. Top of the news today, this is from Yahoo News. The lookout, massive tornado rips through Moore, Oklahoma. 24 killed, including children. Moore feared dead. A devastating mile-wide tornado touched down near Oklahoma City on Monday, killing dozens of people, including children, decimating homes, businesses, and a pair of elementary schools in the suburb of Moore. According to the state's medical examiner, the death toll, reduced to 24 Tuesday morning, was expected to rise. About 40 bodies were expected to be transported to the medical examiner's office overnight. The schools, Plaza Towers Elementary and Briarwood Elementary, were leveled by the tornado. It was unclear how many children were in them at the time the twister hit, but according to KFOR-TV, at least 7 children died at Plaza Towers, and as many as 24 more were feared to be trapped inside the rubble. An Associated Press photographer saw rescue workers pull several children out alive. A makeshift triage center was set up in the school's parking lot. This is a war zone. Terrible, John Welsh, a helicopter pilot for KFOR who lives in Moore, said while surveying the damage from the air. The school is completely gone. Emergency officials urged people to remain off the roads so rescue workers and first responders could reach people potentially trapped in rubble as the National Guard was called in to help in the search for victims. 3 people were killed at a 7-Eleven in the path of the storm, CBS KWTV reported, including a man, woman, and baby who took cover in a freezer but didn't survive. KFOR reported a 4th person was killed there. Our hearts are broken, Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon said at a news conference Monday evening. The tornado left a debris field 20 miles long and several miles wide. According to the National Weather Service, in Norman, Oklahoma, the tornado was on the ground for approximately 40 minutes, and a tornado warning was in effect for 16 minutes before the twister developed. Weather officials estimated the strength of the storm to be an F4 or F5 on the Fujita scale, the highest rating a tornado can achieve. The National Weather Service said the tornado's preliminary classification was an F4, with winds up to 200 miles an hour. On May 3, 1999, a tornado outbreak near Oklahoma City produced 14 tornadoes, including an F5 in Moore, killing 36 people and injuring 295 others. A host on KFOR called Monday's storm the worst tornado, damage-wise, in the history of the world. The devastated area was an estimated 30 square miles. The whole city looks like a debris field, Moore Mayor Glenn Lewis said on NBC's Nightly News. Our hospital is pretty much destroyed. Communication was snarled as landlines and cell phone towers were knocked down. A water treatment plant in Oklahoma City was also damaged. President Barack Obama directed the Federal Emergency Management Agency to prepare to get all available assistance to the disaster-hit area. Late Monday, the president declared Oklahoma a major disaster area, making federal aid available to people in Cleveland, Lincoln, McLean, Oklahoma, and Pottawatomie counties. Families of potential victims were directed by the Red Cross to a website, safeandwell.org, for information about survivors. The 106-acre Orr family farm, a popular attraction in town, was extremely damaged, its owner said. KFOR reported between 75 and 100 horses perished there as workers took shelter in horse stalls. Another smaller tornado was spotted on the ground west of Meeker, Oklahoma, north of Shawnee on Monday. The Oklahoma House of Representatives canceled its afternoon sessions so lawmakers and staffers could take shelter, the AP said. The tornadoes came a day after powerful storms ripped through the center of the country, spawning at least a dozen tornadoes, killing two people and causing extensive damage from Georgia to Minnesota. Next in the news, again in the Yahoo News, the report says poor are moving to nation suburbs. Los Angeles. More poor people live in the nation's suburbs than in urban cities because of affordable housing, service sector jobs, and the increased use of housing vouchers, according to a study released Monday. The number of those in poverty living in suburbs jumped 67% between 2000 and 2011, a much larger increase than in cities. Researchers for the Brookings Institution said suburbs, however, still have a smaller percentage of the poor than cities do. The report notes that poor people were pulled to the suburbs by more affordable homes and followed jobs that were often low-paying. But those who moved to the suburbs also saw manufacturing jobs disappear and housing prices plummet following the economic recession. The myth of suburban prosperity has been a stubborn one, Christopher Neat, academic director of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University, told the Los Angeles Times. Even as suburban poverty emerged, many poorer communities were so segregated from the wealthy in suburbs that many people were able to ignore it. Suburban cities have been ill-equipped to handle the surge. In Irvine, the nonprofit Families Forward used to hand groceries to about 25 families every week. Now it's more than 160. The estimated number of poor people in Irvine rose from more than 12,000 to nearly 21,000 in a decade, Brookings found. Everything is nicely maintained. Things look good on the surface, said Margie Wakeham, executive director of Families Forward, but the need has just skyrocketed. The newspaper said poverty shifted to the suburbs earlier in Los Angeles than nationwide. About half of the poor is in Los Angeles, Long Beach, Santa Ana, and their outskirts. About half of the poor in Los Angeles, Long Beach, Santa Ana, and their outskirts have lived in suburbia for decades, according to Brookings' analysis. That percentage rose to 53.4% in 2011. The report also shows a slight increase in New York City suburban poverty. Well, in my knowledge of Denver, it tells me that it's about the same there.
And finally, in the news today, I bring you the Harper's Weekly Review, dated May 21st, 2013.
President Barack Obama removed Stephen Miller as acting commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service after it was revealed that the agency's determinations unit had given special scrutiny to conservative groups whose tax filings contain such terms as Tea Party and Patriots. Is this government so drunk on power? Asked Kevin Brady, Republican, Texas, during Miller's appearance before the House Committee on Ways and Means. Is this still America? Daryl Issa, Republican, California. The chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform subpoenaed the chairman of the independent panel investigating last year's attack on the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi, Libya, and the White House released emails it said proved the appropriateness of its response to the attack. There's no there, said Obama. 6 days after the Associated Press accused the Justice Department of clandestinely acquiring records for more than 20 of its reporters' phone lines, a leaked affidavit revealed that the department had labeled as criminal activity a Fox News correspondent's reporting on a State Department leak in 2010, and had subpoenaed his private emails. the U.S. Army announced that it was investigating a sexual assault program coordinator in Fort Hood, Texas, over allegations of pimping and abusive sexual contact. And the mayor of Osaka suggested that American military personnel stationed in Japan visit his country's brothels. Unless they make use of these facilities, said Toru Hashimoto, it will be difficult to control the sexual energies of the wild Marines. A woman testified that prostitutes at the Bunga Bunga parties thrown by former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi had dressed up as Obama. They raised their skirts, she said, but I never saw contact. At least 198 people died in sectarian violence in Iraq. Egyptian authorities strung up barbed wire at the country's border crossing with the Gaza Strip after seven members of its security forces were kidnapped by Islamist gunmen. And President Goodluck Jonathan declared a state of emergency in northern Nigeria following a series of attacks by the jihadist group Boko Haram. The pro-Assad Syrian Electronic Army hacked the website and Twitter feed of the Financial Times, and a video was released showing Syrian rebel commander Abu Sakkar cutting into the chest of a government soldier and biting into one of the man's lungs. If the blood does not stop flowing, said Sakkar, all Syrians will become Abu Sakkar's. Iran hanged two men accused of spying for Israel and the United States. And the Russian Federal Security Service, FSB, expelled an American diplomat it claimed was carrying a recruitment letter, a compass, and two wigs. The FSB got sick of American spies, wrote a Moscow tabloid, and publicly smacked one like a cockroach who thought himself king of the kitchen crumbs. A Russian capsule carrying crayfish, lizards, and dead mice touched down in a planted field after a month in orbit, and three astronauts landed on the steppes of Kazakhstan after a five-month stint aboard the International Space Station. This is the first time animals have flown in space for so long on their own, said an official from Russia's Institute of Medical and Biological Problems. My body was quite happy, said ISS mission commander Chris Hadfield. I had learned to talk with a weightless tongue. Somali drug dealers shared with reporters a cell phone video purportedly showing Toronto Mayor Rob Ford smoking crack. And nearly a third of Minnesota's lakes were found to contain traces of cocaine. In Belize, a construction company bulldozed a 2,300-year-old Mayan temple to make road fill. Mind-boggling, said archaeologist Jamie Awe. A.W.E. Ohio was judged to be the most profane state, and priests in Tbilisi, Georgia, attacked homosexual celebrating International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. IDAHO, Idaho. Representatives from the House of Keys declared their support for a lesbian couple denied an apartment on the Isle of Man. Angelina Jolie revealed that she had undergone a double mastectomy after learning she carried a faulty gene that increases her risk of developing breast cancer. Scientists in Oregon successfully cloned human embryonic stem cells, and an Atlanta woman who lost portions of all four limbs to flesh-eating bacteria was outfitted with bionic hands that can be controlled via an iPhone app. The Venezuelan government announced that it would import more than 760,000 tons of supplies to combat shortages of basic necessities. The revolution, said President Nicolas Maduro, will bring the country 50 million rolls of toilet paper. In Vicenza, Italy, a 66-year-old man being evicted by city officials died after throwing himself from his apartment window. We try to help everyone, said the city's mayor, but the effort must be mutual. This article by Jacob Z. Gross. And like I say every week, ladies and gentlemen, please be good to each other in the coming week, and stay out of the news.